Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Finally, Juan Epstein has returned to the internet.
Yeah.
Has it been that long?
It's been like 2 weeks. The last time we were here was Marley Marl, and people have been complaining about his gum chewing for 2 weeks.
What about the incredible stories he told?
I know. I listened to the whole thing, actually, because of the complaints. It's not that bad, considering the stories.
No, because when you have headphones on and someone's chewing right in your ear.
Yeah.
That's what it is. But listen, here's the deal. We got classic Juan Epps. So if we're a little slow, because I don't know, we're promoting a TV show that we're on.
Right, that you're supposed to be supporting, that all of our listeners are supposed to be so excited about.
Go listen to a fucking classic.
That's what I'm saying. There was so many classics to go back and listen to. Have you really listened to all of them?
Or take 2 weeks and go on your you know what? Sorry, we have guests. 1 minute guests.
No. Let's hold on. We're going to get to them in 1 second, our amazing guests. Hold on.
Here's the thing. Go out from now on. You Juan Epps supporters are now like Mormon missionaries.
Yes.
Yeah. Not sexual, but go out on a.
Thank you, sir.
Spend an hour a day promoting Juan Epps for us.
Okay, we really need that right now. If there's ever been a push where you thought something could happen and this show could really drive for us, it's gonna be over the next couple of months that it happens. If you're listening on SoundCloud right now and not on iTunes, subscribe on iTunes. You search for Juan Epstein on iTunes.
Just subscribe.
And subscribe.
Still
and by
listen.
The way, and stop using the fucking app. I know we put out the app and I was excited about it. Just subscribe on iTunes.
I don't know why you put out that.
I was reaching.
Posters like the Bad Boy old school shit.
I know we really should get.
I'll get on
you
the
guys
street.
Can love that.
I'll get on the street.
So. We need to do that. So subscribe on iTunes. That's big. The T-shirts will be available within the next week, I've been told.
Okay.
That's your guy, Neil, says
here
within
we
a
go.
Week. He said we're going to have these
now
shirts cracking. So we're going to have the new T-shirts. And also, if you're wondering, you know, iTunes only goes back 100 episodes. If you want to go back more in here, if you go back on RosenbergRadio.com, they're not on iTunes, but you can go back and listen to the original 30 you may have never heard. So there's a lot to listen to. And
all
without
right, hold
any.
On. Let's take time for our sponsor break. Oh,
we don't have one yet. Yeah, we don't have one yet.
This is where I notice podcasts do intros.
And they do
a
sponsor.
And then they come back. So we want to get a sponsor right here, so spread the word.
Yeah, so that's where the sponsor would be is right there. Okay? I would love to.
What about your man, Millennium Honda, Ravel Mejia, whatever. One of his guys was in a club last
night. He's a different kind of out of here. Are you not aware of what's happened in the last couple of weeks?
Sorry, okay.
You forgot about that. But I wouldn't mind a cold, refreshing Corona right now. You know what I mean? A refreshing. Wouldn't you guys be nice?
I love Corona.
I would love a Corona.
Wouldn't it be lovely if we all sitting here having a cold, refreshing Corona? I know.
Very cold Corona.
What's up with Chipotle?
I'm
Latino.
Chipotle and Corona
together.
Mexican food and beer. Mexican beer.
About
wow.
it.
Right.
So that would be amazing.
If you didn't read the title of who's on the show, introduce the guest.
Sean C. and LV finally on Juan Epstein.
Thank you.
Talk about some of the, I won't say unheralded, but in some ways unheralded greats of the last decade and a half.
Well, thank you. That makes me
thank
feel
you.
Great.
Yeah.
Should be on Unsung or something.
We're gonna get to
not yet, because it's not over.
Now, first of all, y'all have an album.
Yes.
Out today?
Today, yes. Loud Dreams.
Yes. It's called Loud Dreams. Who's on this Sean C. and LV album?
Oh, man. Jadakiss.
Pusha T.
Fabulous.
Bun B.
ASAP Ferg.
Prodigy.
Smoke Dizza.
ASAP 12E.
Dom Kennedy.
Charlie Red.
Big Crit.
Whew. I mean.
So you guys dropped a monster album with a ton of ridiculous features.
It's okay.
And Scythe, and they brought us the full clean album, in case
clean.
You're wondering.
Yeah. Good. It's pretty good music, too, man. I'm pretty proud of it, man.
All right, so Scythe, do we start? I don't think we start with them with the beginning of the story. I think the first thing we do is explain some of the accolades.
Yes.
Okay.
So why don't you tell people, if you were to explain to someone off top, because we have a very knowledgeable listening base, but there are some people who could not be aware. If you were giving someone the pitch on the great things you guys have accomplished in hip-hop, what would it be?
Okay. I have to say Jay-Z, American Gangsta album.
Did you guys do the whole thing?
We're responsible for six songs on that.
American Gangsta. I love
it. Oversaw it or something?
No, we just produced it like kind of like it's just over. We just produced it. Just did the same, you know.
Major forces on that album.
Yeah, when you do six songs, you kind of like the main guy.
Okay.
You know, us and Puff.
So that's a big one, American Gangster.
Mm-hmm. Diddy, Puff, whatever you want to call him, that guy, my friend.
We did records with him. We did.
Jadakiss.
Fab.
Busta Rhymes.
Nas.
Give us some specific records.
Oh, okay.
Why not?
On Jadakiss, we did the In-N-Out joint with him and Styles.
Classic.
One More Step.
One More Step on his last album.
Don't Start Nothing. That was a good, nice little street record that we had going.
On Fab, we did
I Miss My Love.
I Miss My Love.
Welcome to My Workplace.
On Jay-Z, we did Six on Rock Boys.
American Gangsta. Sweet.
There's so many records.
Well, you did Rock Boys?
Yeah, we did Rock Boys. We did No Hooks, Sweet.
Pray.
Pray.
Party Life.
Party Life.
Why does Rock Boys say featuring Kanye West?
Because going,
he's on the hook. We in the house.
Okay. It's one of those. It's one of those. They get you one of the okie dokes.
Yeah, yeah.
But he actually is on the record. But
yeah, we did Big Pun 100%. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
That's where you throw that in the mix.
Hold on, real quick, real quick. Did you guys do, do you have anything to do with Can't Knock the Hustle?
Yes, yeah.
You did Can't Knock the Hustle, so.
Me and my partner, me and Nobody.
Nobody
at the time.
Nobody, you worked with Nobody as well.
Yeah. But that was the first time I've actually been to a studio. So,
So you were up involved with it?
I was in there somewhere.
Can't Knock the Hustle, pretty good
one. Can't Knock the Hustle.
How about One-on-One, Coco Brothers?
Yes, we did that. Yeah. That did that. And that's actually... I just did an interview, too, and I just said that's, like, my favorite beat that I've ever done.
And this is where I need to have my moment with Sean C, that we had this at a restaurant in real life. I'm going to have it on the air.
Okay.
Sif, you're aware that Sean C completely put together Soul in the Hole soundtrack, which is, like, my favorite hip-hop soundtrack of all time.
I know that.
Did the whole thing.
I know he was around loud.
That was your project,
that
correct?
That was my project, yeah. That was like...
a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah, there was like Hell on Earth and that. Those are the first two projects that I worked on.
So what'd you do on Hell on Earth?
I was an A&R assistant on that. Mm. But that was my first credit, and then my first A&R credit was.
You were A&R assistant?
For Soul, not for, I mean for Hell on Earth.
What was the most, like which food spot did they order from the most?
Good question. Really good question.
That's a
really good
question.
You know what? Back then,
that's what A&R assistants do.
He might have
then,
to.
No, but actually, that was the interns at the studio were doing that. But I could tell you that we used to order from Monk's back in the day. It used to be a soul food spot on 9th called Monk's, and it used to be a spot called Rice and Beans.
Rice and Beans
is still around.
This is Mobb Deep recording where?
At
Broadway and 21st?
Access Studios on 56. Was that 50? Where's Studio 54? 54th Street.
Right next
door. Right
next Salaam Remy used to have a studio in the basement.
Yeah, yes. And Axis was upstairs.
I know shit.
Yeah, out of way, Sif.
Don't Pundit, mind me, I'm sitting in this little chair.
A lot of records in that studio,
man. Yeah, Pundit's still not a player.
Yeah, still not a player in there. That was a dope-ass studio, man. I had to stop Pun from beating up an intern.
Let's start
Pal right. Joey, actually.
You want to start right there?
Which is crazy.
So what happened? What's this story?
I can't remember exactly what he said. And the ill thing is, it was this dude, Pal Joey. You know who Pal Joey
No,
is?
I don't.
He was a producer.
Yeah. Pal Joey was like an assistant.
He did hot music.
He produced
Sex and Violence for
the KRS-One. What's that record?
I thought it was called Sex and Violence.
He did 13 and Good?
No, he did it's like it has a hard beat, like.
Oh, KRS-One song with a hard beat. That's cool. Yeah. It was that one.
Yeah. But he said something to him slick, like, it was crazy because he had those records out, and he was like an intern at the studio. I guess times got hard. I don't know. But he was like an intern at the studio.
And he had hot music out.
Yeah. And he said something to Pun, man, and all I know is that the manager came running to me and was like,
oh, duck down.
Can you duck down, right?
Oh, he did duck down?
He did duck down, yeah.
Duck down's hard.
Yeah. It was just
kind of Joey in the house.
Okay, so what happened?
And I just had to kind of like grunt in the room and stand between Pun. Pun just kept saying, I'm not a rapper. I'm not a rapper. And you seen him get up like he was, you know, 140 pounds.
Was
not
this on Yeah Baby or on
this was
Capital Punishment?
Capital Punishment. Yeah. It was crazy.
And did Pun actually slamp his neck? Or
we got him to calm down. Got him to calm down. And the studio manager was super thankful because he was like, he would have killed
Did you ever see Pun actually have to smack anyone up or no?
I won't. I'm no snitch.
Because a lot of stories about Pun involve him having, I'm being honest, we keep it real on Epstein. People know the history now. A lot of stories I want to have seen about Pun involve lots of guns, people getting slapped, perhaps DJs getting thrown in cars.
I don't know anything about that.
These stories exist.
I don't know anything about that. I just know he was a very funny guy.
Yes. Exactly. He always says funny, too. I get funny, but he might throw you in a car.
I don't know.
He might. Yeah. He put a gun in Sif's stomach, and they were friends.
Yeah. He's the most stuck-up, funny guy you know.
So
well, a lot of thugs are funny because they can show their real selves, because
they'll
if you, you say anything, it's going to go down.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. Exactly. So no need to be
that
shot.
Is true. That is definitely true. And then the most thugged out dudes that are real about their shit, they're real people. Like, they don't have to act tough all the time.
No, it's very true.
R&B.
I have a hunch I would have gotten along with Pun.
And he did listen to R&B a lot.
He liked his R&B. Right?
Yeah, he loved R&B.
Surface. Dogs love R&B.
Yeah, but Joe,
Surface.
I mean, L will tell you, because he was on the road
Surface
with him
all the time. Group Surface. Surface. Like, Happy.
Happy. Like, only
Pun,
you,
listen
like,
to that.
Yeah, all the time.
What?
All the time. Like, I used to drive him around in the Benz, and that's what he'll be playing. Like, he'd be like, all right, already. Like, we're R&B out, dog. Like, all right, can we listen to something else? One more time.
So why what was
one more time? I can see him doing that too.
One more time,
one more
like,
time.
You do the whole thing like no, let's play this one more time.
Yo, did the relationship with Pun start from Sean C working at Loud? Is that where that comes from, or is it before that or somewhere else?
What, my relationship with him?
You guys, both of you.
You want to tell the story?
Well, my relationship with Pun started from Sean, because I was home doing nothing, just left school.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Five Towns College.
Okay.
Really wasn't working out for well too.
Are you from Long Island?
No, I'm from Harlem.
Okay.
Harlem, baby. And I was going, and I was like, this is not working out for me. And I was sitting on my couch, and Sean called me up one day and said, do you want to DJ for Pun? I was like, what do you think?
Pun's already ringing at the time when you get the call?
Well, Still Not a Play was out, and then it was just bubbling, so we were going on that tour, and I was like, what do you think? Of course I am. Like, and then.
So Still Not a Player is bubbling.
Mm-hmm.
You already know this
first
song.
Version. No, Still Not a Player.
Still Not a Player? Still. Or I'm Not a Player. Okay, Still Not a Player is bubbling. So they give you the option of, hey, do you want to go on the road with Big Pun? You're like, sure, that sounds fantastic.
Mm-hmm. You think?
And then, is that it? You just jump out there, he introduces you, and you...
Yeah, well, that day he called me, he was like, it was funny, he was like, so you going to DJ for me? I was like, yeah. He's like, all right, come to my house. He's like, all right. He gave me the address. He's like, wait a minute, let me ask you a question. Are you Puerto Rican or are you black? I was like, huh? He's like, I know it's weird, but don't worry about it. I was like, okay, yeah, well, I'm Panamanian and black. He's like, oh, okay, that works.
He was just curious.
Yeah, he was just curious. Yeah, I was like, okay. That's
that
great.
That works.
Yeah, that works.
What wouldn't have worked?
I have no idea. I'm just glad it worked.
My guess is anything would have worked.
Anything would have worked.
Curious about.
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
If he was white, it wouldn't have worked?
No, I don't know.
Did Pun not like 100% black guys?
I wouldn't say that. Sean's 100% black.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Was he biased towards Puerto Ricans, though?
He loved Puerto Ricans because
he
is Puerto Rican.
He's Puerto Rican.
He did love Puerto Ricans.
That's what it is.
So, and then what was your relationship like after that? What was it like DJing for him?
It was the greatest thing. I mean, the first day I met him, he asked me when I went to his house, it was the best thing. He was like, you hungry? We're going to order mad chicken. So we did that, and that was great for me.
What
and
kind of chicken?
Kentucky Fried Chicken at the time.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
And his size at this point isn't like the 400.
No, it wasn't crazy. It wasn't. It was Big Pun, but it wasn't like the 400.
But it was more like three in the threes.
Yeah. So we were still moving around, still doing, you know, wilding out. And then he was like, yo, what do you need? And I was like, I really need a mixer. Next thing, he bought me a Vestex 07 mixer. And that was like from the first day I met him.
He got you the 07 too.
07, yeah.
Nice. I was
more. What do you mean he got, like, you went to the store and bought it?
Yeah, he was like, what do you need? He was like, I was like, I really need a new mixer. He was like, not a problem. He gave me the money.
And you ain't got
it. And I went and got it next. He was like, bring it back to my house and show me what you got.
Really?
Really.
So he said,
I love Pun.
Yeah. So he goes, so what do you tell him? An 07 went for what, about $800-$900?
Yeah. I was like, I kind of need a new mixer. He was like,
what were you using before that?
I was using the Techniques.
You're a joke.
The technique was hot.
The technique mixer was hot. I still have that mixer, yo.
I have that mixer. Hold on, here's my question.
You use it?
No, I have his old mixer. It's in my storage.
I've considered looking for it, like trying to find one used.
Uh-huh.
Do you still have the replacement fader inside of it?
Matter of fact, it's open, but Raider, oh my God, I love Raider Death. God bless Raider. I love Raider to death. My brother, he gave me like three replacement faders.
Of course,
for that.
Rock Raider had the extra replacement faders.
Oh my God, I used to get, oh my God, it was just crazy. Yeah.
I think that was a scam.
What, the mixer?
The fader. I think they made it like that to sell replacements.
Of course.
Maybe, probably.
Well, but hold on, but didn't the fader give out on them? I heard
they made them so they weren't that good, so you'd have to keep buying replacements.
Because
they know who is buying those type of mixers, and you're not going to keep buying a new mixer, but you'll buy a fader.
You definitely will.
And what were they, like 100 for the fader?
I can't remember how much it was. I can't.
But it did have, and I know this is super nerdy, but this is what we do.
Uh-huh.
It was a super nice. The fader was a glidey,
yes,
clean.
It definitely was.
It was the whole mixer was clean.
The mixer looked dope. It had that lacquer black, like the shiny black.
This dude at the radio station had it, and I was like, damn, you got that? Now, I always was privy to, and still in my house, use the Vestex 05.
Okay.
And the 05 is a lot like the Techniques, although it's much more robust because it's Vestex, but just clean. All the faders are really nice, basic. Yeah. It's just a good, clean control. The 07, they got you geeked because you could adjust the contour of the vertical faders.
Right. Yes.
But in my opinion, you could never get it as right as it was on the 05.
Right. You never could get it as right. That's why you just leave it the way you just leave it, you know,
basic.
Yeah.
So he gets you the 07.
07.
And then do you instantly start going on the road? Is it shows
instantly,
around New York?
Instantly. It was like maybe like 2 days. We had like 2 days of rehearsal, and then I just been there ever since.
And what was the pun show consistent of at that point? I'm very curious about the pun shows because
Pun's your favorite rapper.
Pun's
right?
my favorite, and obviously had a very interesting performance because as time went on, he couldn't move around that much,
right?
And it was a sort of limited show, and I never got to see it. Well, so I'm curious about.
When I came, it was really exciting. Like he was moving around. We was doing mass.
What'd he come out to?
Twins.
All right, so people were already messing with Twins and still not a player.
Even if he was by himself, it would be Twins.
It'll be
up to that part.
Yeah.
Then in the middle yeah. And then next song.
And then that's it. The next song, I think we went from, if it wasn't, You Came Up, and then we switched it to TONY beat. You came up, and then, you know, we switched it, and then
the song was on the
This one, people were actually using turntables and, you know, doing like real DJing, but it's fine. It's fine.
And by the way, what did you have? Do you have instrumentals?
That's what we're here to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what we don't rush through it. You had the instrumentals pressed up on white labels?
Yes, Sean.
Yes, Sean. I have the Capital Punishment instrumental album.
Well, I do now too.
Yeah,
it came out.
Okay. Yeah,
I have vinyl.
So I was.
Yeah, but you don't have the vinyl I have. I bet.
No, mine is bootleg. It's like red and blue and shitty.
No,
I had like Sean, my good friend, my brother here. I was like, yo, Sean, it would be dope if I get the instrumental. Sean was like, I got you. Next thing I know, I have two boxes. That's when they used to come in the boxes.
Yeah.
And I had just all white labels. I was like, woo! Yeah.
They're white. Nobody they have nothing what? On them.
Of
white.
The album?
Yeah, the Capital album. Punishment.
But it was
instrumental.
Was it double vinyl?
Double vinyl. Yes.
And is there choruses or what's on it?
Straight instrumental.
So you have straight Sean.
Straight
instrumental. We're friends at this point.
Yes.
What, yours have choruses?
I think mine have choruses and shit. You have the real pure instrumentals on
mine.
Yeah. I have to go look in
you
the
You might have to dig around.
Yeah.
You got a box. How many did you actually go
he
through?
He probably has, still has
I still
some.
Got, I still got
he
a
probably,
few.
You kept but, some. You didn't go through all of them.
No,
it's
I didn't.
Like they wear out every day.
Yeah,
but you know, at that time, I was fronting so much. I was like, oh, they have a little hissing and I can't use that anymore. But not realizing what it was.
Yeah. That's the same thing. Like
my Air Force Ones are a little dirty.
Yeah, it has a little hiss in it. No, nobody wants to.
Perfect segue. You remember when the Puerto Ricos first came out? My boy Mike Parker was the dude at Nike that came out with and made the Puerto Ricos. And 100% was coming out. And they were like, we want to do a campaign. I had two boxes of Puerto Rico Air Force Ones in my house. Two big boxes
for
like
what?
This.
Uh-huh. Are you supposed to give
to the Terror Squad. And after I gave Terror Squad, I still had like 14 size 9s. And I would just wear them shits like every day. Like, I'm going to just throw in another pair. I'll just throw in another pair the next day.
Damn.
Mad. Yeah. Just
wasteful.
Them. Wasteful. Not realizing. Yeah, not even realizing I should hold on to them.
So what about You Ain't a Killer? Is that that's got to be in the set? No,
no, we didn't. No, you know what? That I think I remember performing that a few times. Like it was straight. Like because a lot of like he didn't really do.
He didn't do Firewater
like
verse.
No, no,
no Firewater.
He didn't like it. It was just it depends on where we were at. Like if we were at like in the Bronx performing, like I don't even know where we performed.
What
in
other
Roomba? If you were in Roomba,
yeah, we're definitely bringing out
then
all
you
the
do
killers. Then we doing no.
Wow. Right. What other?
Shit,
that's
old school.
What other album cuts did he do?
He did. Okay, it was.
Did
you
he do?
He did.
Ding ding ding.
Yes, he did.
Ding ding ding.
The Wyclef shit.
The Wyclef. What? Damn, I'm.
Caribbean Connection. Caribbean Connection.
He definitely did that. Oh my god, I remember one time we were in Florida. We were in Miami.
Oh, they must have went nuts.
And we did that, right? And then like, and then it was a part where I have to say this was a part where you know, one run with one was like, bleh, bleh. It's like shit on your whole family.
Yep.
You know, so I would cut that up like, bleh, 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 and he would be like doing that, and then next thing you know. Wyclef just jumps on the stage and everybody, I'm like, oh shit. I become a fan. I'm like, oh shit, fucking Wyclef. I'm bugging. And I'm like, he's like, switch the song. Like, I'm like, so that was crazy.
Wait, what do you mean switch the song?
Like, because after I was doing, like, and I see why I'm still DJing. Like, I'm still just going crazy. Like,
I'm scratching back and forth.
Like, yeah, because I had, like, because I was pretty good back in the day. I was pretty nice. Okay. You know, I came from the pedigree of the X-Men.
Were you X-Men?
Yeah, I wasn't an X-Men, but I was like the little snot-nosed kid.
Like, X-Factor, like you were in the
That was part of how he got the...
Yeah, and that was part of it. That was part of the whole thing because I was...
I'll be honest, you look like a DJ.
Do I?
Doesn't he physically look like a
DJ? He is a DJ.
I know. I am. The glasses, everything about you look like a DJ. Yeah. I can tell you be nice.
Yeah, so thank you.
You be nice.
Yeah, so I was shit on your whole family.
Yeah, yeah. So like, it was like, and I was doing all that. And then, you know, I'm going around just going crazy.
In the middle of the song.
In the middle of the song, though.
Like, Pun would let you.
Yeah, Pun would like, shit on the whole industry. Like, so I just, and then we'll have, you know, we have the timing where I'll just do it, you know. And then Wyclef, I'm looking, I'm like spinning around and doing all that. And then, like, he's like,
go back to the song.
Let the record play. Like, yeah, so that was good.
But you've never done Wyclef's verse before that.
Never.
So you did. That's where you cut it off.
Yeah, and that's when I cut it off. And then we go to something else. Okay, what else was that after that? And then,
never. Would you ever do Glamour Life?
Or Boomerang?
No, we didn't.
What about
Never Did Boomerang?
Never Did Boomerang.
He did I'm Not a Player, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Not a Player and Still Not a Player.
I'm Not a Player. That's when we got crazy. Well, that's when we used to switch it to, what's the break? And it's like, give it all you got. Jermaine Dupri used it for Sleeping in My Bed remix.
That was crazy.
That was, yeah.
Was the Jermaine Dupri record out?
I'm not sure. I used it off the breakbeat. I think it was though. It probably was. It probably the music
around the same
back
time.
Then. Yeah,
I remember when it switched. This whole podcast is not gonna be about Pun, but I'm just saying. I remember when it switched from hardcore Puerto Rican fans and black kids too, but like hip hop fans. To Still Not a Player coming out, and then the chicks.
Everything just went. It
like,
went
just
crazy.
Just girls at every show.
That's it's a weird dynamic, isn't it? Like
I know when Pun came to the tunnel the second time, after he was popping, there was way more Spanish girls than usual, like a crazy amount.
So was the song so chick friendly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
even though it's such a good song, it's such a weird conundrum, right?
Yeah,
but it was so chick friendly that even though he was a hardcore rapper, and even though he was at this point 400 pounds, just about.
Mm-hmm.
Chicks really were into it.
Into it.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you don't want to give up everything, but let's be honest. The past is the past.
Right.
Chicks were really fucking with Pun.
Yes.
Like, for real.
I loved it.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
Had a great time. Definitely when that song came on, like, that was kind of my favorite part of the show.
Now, listen, but LV, there was a lot. Me and Cypher discussed this.
Uh-huh.
Cypher was even once invited to join in Triz Nathaniel. How real was the Triz Nathaniel?
Did I ever tell you? I tell you the story.
You've sure, but tell us again.
Did I tell you that Insane Clown Posse was also in the same hotel? Did I ever mention that part?
I don't know if you did. They were there. They didn't share in the Triz, did they?
I don't think so. Because
that would get lefty family. Now hold
that
on.
Sounds
so
crazy.
Did he really offer? Was that really a common thing?
That was. At one point, that was a part of my life. Like, I didn't even want to fuck with a girl unless she was fucking do it, like, trizzing everybody. Like, it's crazy.
That's nuts. You're saying.
I got really spoiled.
But that's a nut. The whole emotion of it's very nuts.
Definitely is.
Nuts. You ever run into a girl 10 years later that you trizzing and now she has, like, two kids and you're she's probably like, oh, hi.
But that's
do you remember? Hi. Yeah, hi. Do you remember me? Like, I'm like, hey.
Why did you guys want to do that? But what was the appeal? I mean, I personally have no, and this isn't disrespect, I have no interest in having sex with another man in the room, though I do like watching
it wasn't
porn.
Even about that. It was just like,
that's the thing. What is the appeal is my point. I'm not saying there was anything gay about it, but I'm saying what's the point? Like, is it that a chick's acting so slutty? Is that really what it is?
Yes. And she wants to do me and my friends. Let's go.
Let's do it.
It's the fact that she's willing to be such a slut. That's a turn off.
That is a turn off for me.
How do you?
That
I mean, it,
how
you
does
know
that
what?
Combo it, start.
Aside,
I
this know, cr-
I
it took
all
me,
the time just doing me.
For me, I mean, for me, it took me a while. I'm not gonna lie. In my later years of going on the road, I've got good at it. But when I first started, it was really bad. It was really awkward. It was awkward. I was like, hey, and they wouldn't let, because you know I was the rookie, so they wouldn't. They'd be like, nah, if she's not Tristan, you can't do nothing. So I was like, what?
I can't, like.
So your only way to get the room.
Yes.
And even have it pop off.
Yes. I had to, like, I had to. So I was like, all right, I got to figure this out because I need this action right now. So I had to figure it out.
Why do you want that?
That's so bizarre.
I mean, I was 17 at the time.
Well, no, I'm not mad at you. Yeah. You were just out there learning. I'm just trying to understand. And then here's the thing. Now, granted, Big Pun is a megastar, and he's my favorite of all time. But the fact of the matter is there are many women out there who seemingly would love Big Pun's music, yeah. would maybe even want to fuck LV.
Yes.
But when you go, hey, are you down to fuck my 400-pound friend also?
You didn't have to do that.
No, yeah. That
you didn't have that. Bad. Like, you know what, like.
Well,
like,
Pun was good because he was
like,
good.
You didn't have to worry about Pun. Like it was all of the.
It was everyone else.
It was all of us. Yeah. Like,
everyone else, all the other animals fighting for scraps.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is amazing.
Yeah, I seen it in the studio, and it was just I didn't
Sorry?
See the conversation
in the studio.
Oh yeah, I've seen things in the studio, and it's just a pass off. What I saw was just a pass off. It's like, yo, it's in the bathroom, and you walk in the bathroom, and it's
you ready to go,
and there's somebody waiting for you in the bathroom.
Ready to go.
Like waiting.
This is so
nuts. It's like a 15-minute wait.
It could be. Like, can they come already?
Yeah.
It's like your time.
There was no Blackberries back then.
Your time on your weight depending how you're ranking in the crew. Like that's depending. That was your time. Like it depends on how.
No,
high
I'm
you
saying
up.
The girl.
What she
like,
doing?
Let's say she gets smashed down two trains, right? And the next guy's like, "Oh, I'm about to go in there. Hold on, let me just call my."
She
my
never really had to wait. It never really was a wait because it was just like it was a process.
Yeah.
So you might lose your line. You might lose your spot in line.
Like yeah, if you go somewhere like, oh, let me go to the
store real quick.
Like no.
That's what I see in the bathroom. And then I was in the bathroom, people knocking on the door like, yo!
This is insane. What is the best spot on the train? Like, you know, if
it's
late night,
the
late night New York City.
The first.
You want to ride in the middle car because there's a conductor there that might call. So you want to be in the front of the train.
You want to be the front.
Yeah, you want to be in the front.
You
want to
be the front.
You want to be the first car.
Last car is always bad.
I don't know. Last car's dirty.
Last car's like dirty. Like, it's just there.
It's mad niggas in the last car.
It's just there. Like, yeah, like, you know, last
car.
Niggas are smoking in the last car. Niggas are drinking.
Last car.
Police don't come to the back car. Like, nah.
Here's another question I have. If you're not first, if you're not in the first wave of the train, right?
Yeah.
There's the front of the car and the back of the car.
Yeah.
If you have to be second, is it more dirty to jump in the back of the car or the front of the car? I mean, both are pretty dirty at this point. You see what I'm saying?
No.
In other words, she's already had a dick in her mouth and in her vagina.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So if you're up next, Sife, where do you think if you're forced to do it, would you rather be second in the vagina or second in the mouth?
Oh, I get what
you see what I'm saying?
I'm going vagina.
I'm going vagina.
I'm going vagina. All right, so let's just finish this the Pun part of your guys' career.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you go on the road with him.
Are you jealous of him being on the road?
Nah, because I was just busy doing a bunch
of
shit.
Doing
so what are you doing?
Shit.
What are you what are you working
I'm
on?
I'm probably when Pun after Pun's first album, then there was
Dead Prez.
And
that's why Dead Prez is on Pun's album?
Right, exactly.
Crazy.
Okay, so
why is that not a real song?
Yeah, talk about...
Why is that not a full song?
Talk about that intro.
Because, you know what? That was a Dead Prez song. And Pun was like, yo, I want that for...
For an interlude for my
record.
He was like, I want to have an awkward,
singing. Was the greatest. Yeah. He was the greatest at that. Like, you'll be like... He'll be listening to a beat. And it'll be a hot beat. He'll be like, that's just going to be an interlude. He'll be like, no. He'll be like, it's an interlude. He'll be like, okay. So, like, he just would just hear weird things and be like, that's just going to
So that song, though, The Rain or whatever, they're singing that as a song on their record.
For their million songs that they were working on for that.
And
album.
He hears it and he's like, I just like this, but I only want it to be an interlude.
Right.
They didn't care.
They
gave it up.
Yeah,
no problem.
Yeah. It was a look for them, so it wasn't, you know.
Yeah, Pun's popping.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And I think it was a different time back then, too. It was just like, I'm just getting on my, like, that's my man. I'm just going to get on his album. So it was like.
And it was a lot of records, man. It was just like, oh, you want that record? Okay. Yeah.
So, but then he decides to make it. I always found that to be a really interesting skit.
Because,
like, what he says in the skit, it's, who is it, Stickman? Who's talking to Pun?
Prospect is talking when he's like,
"Oh, it's Prospect
talking? You sing so beautiful."
Yeah,
well,
what
yeah,
is that
Prospect.
About? What is that whole thing about?
Oh man, I can't. That's so long ago.
It's
man.
A weird skit though. It's really cool, it's and cool. I like it. But, and then it goes nicely into the next record. It's dope, but it's so random, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're back at home. You're working on all these things, and then we transition. How much of a transition is there between Capital Punishment and Yeah Baby? Because this is the time when he goes to Fat Camp to try to get better, right?
Yeah.
He goes to Duke.
What do you remember about him going down to Duke?
That was
Duke? Sorry, what I mean?
Duke University is where the Fat Camp was.
Yeah, he went there to lose weight.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
He went down there. So what we would do is we found a studio down there, and he would go to the program during the day, then go in the pool at the hotel, and then come back up and write all day, and then go to the studio, then go back to, no, what am I saying? I say go to the studio? Yeah. He'd go to the Fat Camp during the day, come back, go in the pool, stay in the pool for hours because he loved to be in the pool because he would be buoyant in the pool. He had no, you know, he had no weight. So he would always want to be in the pool. Stay in the pool for hours, then go upstairs, write, then we would go to the studio. And we did that every day.
Now, real quick, how much did you guys notice? Were you around him between albums, or was there a time when you saw him and were like, shit, he just gained a lot of weight?
I did.
You had that moment?
I mean, basically, I was like with him like every day, every other day.
Even between albums?
Even like, yeah.
Because there was always some shows or something.
Yeah, even when there's no shows, like, he would call me and be like, what are you doing? Come to my house. And I mean, I'm 18, 19. I'm
and
like,
you're working for Punch.
Yeah,
so.
I'm like, yeah. So it wasn't after a while, maybe like after the first month, it was just like, that's just my man. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Was he directly putting money in your pocket for these shows?
Yeah.
So he gave you a day rate or whatever, a gig rate.
Yeah.
And then per diem and stuff like that too?
No.
No per diem.
No per diem. I didn't know
what he paid for your food.
Yeah.
So you get your...
I guess, like...
Your hotel and food got paid for.
Yeah, it worked out better. Like, I didn't need per diem, because what do you get for per diem? $30? And we were eating at fucking great spots. So I was like, you can take the $30. But I didn't know what per diem was.
Right.
I just cared about $200. I got $200 each show, which was great from when I first started.
Right. You're 17 years old, and you're doing shows every night.
I bought all my
shoes. $200 a show?
$200 a show.
Yeah.
What do you do with that money?
Bought sneakers.
That's nice.
For the first three tours, I came home broke. But I had some good sneakers.
Yeah, you're tight. So you're then still with him, and you have at any point, does anyone say to him, yo, Pun, you're starting to look really fat? Does anyone say it?
I think at a point when people start saying it, I think it was like at abundance. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, I don't think like one person just said at the beginning. I think the way I look at it now, when people started to say something, like, people started to say something that, and, you know, at the time when he went to the camp. So I just feel like it was a lot. People just, everybody
yeah,
was just
everybody,
coming at him
yeah.
at one time. Is that like...
So it didn't happen over time, but once he hit a certain weight.
Yeah, it was getting crazy.
Because it was like, it's kind of for me, I know how I look at it, and like sometimes I wish, like, damn, I wish I can go back and change it up a little bit. But we were having so much fun. It's really
and he's eating a lot, but he's feeding y'all a lot too.
Yeah.
It's a weird situation.
It's weird because like we're not even paying it any attention. Like we're not like I you know what I'm saying.
So you don't know.
Yeah, like
health.
Yeah,
health.
Yeah.
In retrospect, did he eat an insane amount of food?
I've seen him eat a lot of food.
You've seen
him. Yeah, at times, but not really. Like, he would just order a lot and not eat a lot.
So you'd order too much food.
And it'll just be for everybody, though. Like,
remember when he was in the studio, he said, okay, I want a bucket of chicken and a wig for the dancer. He pointed to Cuban.
Oh,
he was like, I want five buckets of chicken and a wig for the dancer.
So then he goes down to camp and he loses some weight. He loses 100 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back.
Yeah, what happened was we were down there for a while. He lost. That's when he did It So Hard. And he was like, I just lost 100 pounds. I'm trying to live. Like, he was doing really well. And then it was before emailing verses and stuff like that. So we wanted to get people on the records. So he came back to New York to get the features on the record. So he camped out in Sony. He was supposed to go back eventually. But he camped out in Sony Studios but never went home. We had a bed in the studio. I came in the studio one day, and he's sitting.
What was that, Studio E?
Yeah, Studio E, where they had the van room in Sony. You remember that?
Yep.
And he's sitting on a bed, doing his vocals, like with the mic in front of him, and I'm like, yo, and I'm looking at the engineer, like, looking at soundboard, like, why are you letting him do vocals in the control room? And then the first thing Pun says, nope, Wyclef does it, right? He told me Wyclef does it, and Wyclef sold 16 million records. I was like, dog, like, he has to at least get up and go to the vocal booth. So he was no longer even getting up to go to the vocal booth. He's just sitting down
Come on, man. I know it's sad. I know you don't like dealing with things like this. But real quick, he did sound different on the second album. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing. I love Yeah Baby. Mm-hmm. There's a handful of songs in particular I love. Mm-hmm. But he sounds different.
Right.
It's not the same. His ability with everything is not the same. Mm-hmm. His breath control's gone.
Right.
It's just not quite the same. Could y'all tell that this wasn't even though it's dope, you could tell that it wasn't the same.
We had those conversations.
We had them. Like, and definitely for me, like, I would go to the studio early, and I'd listen to what he, like, listen to what I did. I'd be like, maybe you can, you know, you might want to do that. Or he'd be like, according to my watch.
My $100,000 watch says that I don't need to do the vocals over.
So I'd be like, okay.
Wow, y'all both remember that line at the same time.
Yeah,
remember that more than once.
Yeah,
he's definitely
said it to him.
According to this plaque that says I just sold 1 million records, that means I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly.
So you'd be like, okay, I guess you do.
And then he would say, like, that's my new style.
Yeah.
He loves saying that. That's my new style.
But then it's like, not only food, but then he was running through money like crazy. Yeah. Like, that had to be hard to watch. Like, I mean, it was probably fun.
But you could,
at that point, like,
And so at what point, was there a point when he's, in which he's doing the second album, in which you go, this is not good, this is not going to end well, or no?
Well, you mean his
health, everything.
Oh, no, definitely. I sat in the A&R meeting, and they were like, so when are you turning in the record? And I was like, I can't ask him about when he's going to finish his album. Like, I don't want to say it, but I was like, it's not going to be good for him.
You thought it was potentially
and that was like 4 days before he died.
You could tell it was that bad.
I didn't tell
because I always thought, like, you know, you looked at him, I always thought he was mad strong. And, like, you know, I figured, like, I never thought that it was, like, a shock. It kind of still is to me. Like, not really, but it's like, damn.
And
like,
then you feel crazy because you look back and you're like, how could I have been shocked by a guy who was almost 700 pounds?
Right, but when I'm at that time, I'm just like, he's like, he can do everything. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's Pun. Like, you just.
The part I'll never get over as a fan of his, the part that will always blow my mind, is that he somehow went from the 400-pound range to dying at 698 pounds. Mm-hmm. That's another fat person. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's another really large person that he gained during that time. And since I wasn't around it, I can't conceive of how it happened.
Okay, can we change?
All right, so. Hey, listen, it had to be done. We have these guys here. Who else knows him? He is my. What's your favorite Pun record? Let's end it like that. Favorite Pun record?
One I did, 100%. No.
How were the checks for 100%, though? How were those checks?
They're all right. They're okay. You know, it's a long time ago, though.
What's the publishing? What do you have to give up on publishing for that?
I have 50% of the song.
And was it? The sample?
50%
is
after
no,
the
no,
sample?
I have no. I don't have 50. The sample took 25%, and then the Pun's put to 75. Yeah,
that's not too bad.
Lalo Schifrin.
Yeah. Lalo Schifrin. Yeah.
Che.
What's the record?
It's Che. It's on the soundtrack to Che.
Yeah, oh, really?
Che Guevara.
Was it a known record from that soundtrack? Or not particularly. You just found it?
Mm-hmm.
The movie is not popular.
I didn't even know there was a movie. It's like a soundtrack to a movie that I'd never seen before.
And LV, what's your favorite Pun record?
I think it will have to be My Turn.
Wow, really? Why My Turn?
Because I was there, and I just like what he was saying, and like it was just a connection when it was there, and it's there, and I just remember when he picked the beat, when he did the vocals, I was just like.
My favorite Pun record is the Pun Funk Master Flex interlude.
The Pun Funk Master Flex interlude. Were you there? You were there for that, right?
I was there.
God,
he called up for that. I'm just remembering the story when you asked. I'm like, Pun called up. We was just about to leave the station. Pun was like, yo, Flex, come to the studio. I want to record something with you. Flex is like, fuck, man, I don't want to go to the studio. He's like, all right, whatever. Let's come. Sipe, you got to come with me. And we go down there, and the laughter on that skit is 100% genuine.
Yeah, I think I edited that.
Yo, Flex could not. It's mad long. Flex could not hold it in.
We're like two fucking wild bears.
Yeah. In the fucking woods, all you can see is our asses.
All you see is our ass.
Blind if you look directly. he was one of the funniest dudes I ever met.
Do you remember him being specifically pissed off about the 50 Cent line? Because he goes in on 50 pretty hard on that album.
Yeah. Everybody was pissed at 50 at that time. Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, now we're used to it from Fifth.
Yeah. Oh, back then.
He drops people's names. Back then, that was on
when
her.
As Pun made perfectly clear, you could get slapped the fuck up. Yeah, like, he was not playing around.
He didn't like that at all.
He didn't like it.
So, where did you guys first meet?
I was going to ask the same thing.
I want to know. You guys have been best buds.
Seifenberg.
Seifenberg.
I know somebody so long you don't know.
From the same neighborhood?
Yeah, we're from the same neighborhood.
From the same neighborhood. Yeah. My best friend, Young Sav, is...
Is he still your best friend?
Yes. He's my brother. He's not even my best friend no more.
Scoop and Sav are brothers. Scoop was my best friend. We were in a group together. Sav was his best friend. So we always would be in the same house all the time.
Yeah, and like Scoop and
Scoop's
Sav's
crazy
house.
Father.
Yeah. Ooh, Mr. Freeman, that is my man.
J.R. Shout to Mr. Freeman.
I ain't cheat on you in 10 years.
Shout to Mr. Freeman. Yeah, we always would be in that house. And, you know, me and Scoop had a group. We grew up together.
What was your group?
We were, Three Was Soul.
Sorry, what was it?
It was called Three or So.
I've
heard of a lot of groups.
And Biz Boys, huh?
Rapping?
Scoop was rapping, yeah.
You were rapping?
No, I was a DJ. I was a DJ.
And then what was
And Steve D. Me, Steve D. And
and what was next after that? You did another one?
Steve D, who won the belt, the seminar.
Oh,
the
DJ. There's two DJs.
Yeah, two DJs. I
love... Not enough people go with the two DJ.
That was, I mean, we're from Harlem. We were trying to be the Get Fresh crew. It was like, you know, that was what it was. You know, but like I knew Scoop since... I can't remember. Probably since 9 years old.
But did you change the group name and come out again?
No,
it was just that one run.
Yeah,
didn't work out.
We got a deal though. We had a deal with Teddy Riley, and
you got an advance.
We never got an advance.
Teddy Riley. Did you hear him say
Teddy Riley?
Gene Griffin. Really, that's what I say before Teddy Riley. It have nothing to do with us not getting an advance. But yeah, we had a deal with him during that whole Rex and Effect era. And
so you start making beats around then.
I always made beats because I felt that's what the DJ was supposed to do. You're the DJ, you make the beats. And, you know, then we stopped doing that. So then I continued to, like, I was like, well, I'm just going to make beats. And me, Rock Ray, it's such a long story, but it's like from the Executioners to when me and Nobody started, we all had a production company. We all be in the same crib, just making beats. We had the group E Brothers.
So I was about
New Jersey Drive soundtrack.
I was about to say Nobody did Funky Piano.
With Raider. It was like all three of us.
That's right.
It's all three of us. We all worked.
You shouted out on that record too.
Yeah,
you're all gonna shout it out, right?
Yeah.
Dude, that record's crazy. Who the fuck were the E Brothers?
It was really just one dude named Wayno. Yeah, it was just one dude.
Was it the same Wayno? Who same then put out or had a record later? Who had a couple years later?
Yeah. Same Wayno, I guess. I think because Wayno's a pretty popular name, so there's probably another
there. I do. There's another Wayno around too.
Yeah.
So, damn, that is mad random. So how did you? So how are y'all connected and both connected to Rock Raider?
So the execution. Yeah, like, I helped start the Executioners. Yeah. Me and Rock Raider started.
Scoop is like X-Men, right?
Yeah, we're all from Harlem, so it's like. Me and Scoop had a group. We started going uptown, and Raider lived across the street from me. So me, Scoop, and Raider would just go uptown all the time. We met Steve D, started that DJ crew, and then in the crew was that there were different groups. You know, it was like there's the X-Men are all the DJs, then Scoop is the rapper, and it's me and Steve as a group for Scoop as a rapper, and that's how the X-Men started. So because of that relationship, Kendall is Scoop's brother.
And I always wanted to DJ. And Kendall was like, yo, you want to DJ? My brother done do that. Like, I meet you at Rock Raider. And I was like, who? Rock Raider? And then next thing you know, I'm at Rock Raider's house and they all practicing Sean. I'm just like, oh, shit.
And did Sav do anything?
That time?
Or just be a cool guy who hung out?
Yeah, like, we at that
he's
time.
Younger than you, though, right?
No, we're the same age.
Same age?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At that time, we were just friends. And we would do parties. Like me and Kendall, like we had a group called Four Life, and we would like DJ parties. Like, you know, we would go around.
Did Kendall actually DJ?
Yes.
Sav DJ?
Yes.
Didn't even know that.
At that back then, yes, he did.
By the way, for those listening who don't know Sav, on for me and Sice, well, you probably have a different relationship with him. Yeah. but Sav worked here forever. Yes. And now is and Def Jam, and now he's president of MMG.
Yeah.
And we're very proud of him. It's pretty dope.
Exactly.
Very.
It's so weird.
Yeah. What? That Sav's
Tell me it's not weird.
Nah, that's because that was a whole goal from when we were young. That,
no, but I'm just
No,
on,
just to see him. Yeah. Just to see Sav.
That's our man. Like,
just to see
it's
Sav
so
being
see
a boss.
Like,
it's kind of weird.
But yeah, it's dope. It's supposed to happen.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not supposed to happen.
No, no, I know what you're saying, but for me, I just get mad happy. I don't even know. Like, that's not weird. I'm just like, this is I just get dumb happy. Like
I see what I'm saying is like I'll be somewhere with him and Ross and other people and I see the way people treat him because he's the president of MMG. Yeah, yeah. And people talk to him like a I'm like, why are they talking to him like that? Why are you talking to him like he's like
a
big deal? And I'm like, oh yeah,
he is a big deal.
I use all that to my advantage. I use all that like that. This is my man right here. Excuse me. Oh no. He said five bottles. No. Come on. Like,
yo, and whenever I see Sav, he always seems the exact same.
Always. He doesn't change.
Yeah, he has
like,
changed.
That's the best thing about Sav is that I, on a selfish, only a selfish level, of course, I will always have a direct in to whatever I need related to Sav because he'll always look out.
Yeah, he blasts out our records for us.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's like,
so that's family. So.
Nah, Sav is the best.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's like that circle is.
So, yeah, this is
family.
Really interesting. So, we get the full pun story, but then we just got the creation of the X-Men story, which comes through you guys as well.
Right.
I mean, this is what Juan Epstein's all about.
Right.
So now you're running around, you're producing at this point?
Well, I had a kid early, so I had to, like, go get a job. So I had to, like, kind of stop DJing.
So what'd you do?
While.
What was the job?
I was, like, a security guard.
That's a rap job.
Like, and so I had to get a job because I had a kid young, and I had to, you know, get money. And at that time, DJing, we weren't really making any paper. And then I ended up leaving the job and interning, like, talking to Scoop and figuring out where I should go now. And then I started interning at Loud. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go intern at Loud. If I go there, I could get off beats because I'll be around all of the artists. At the same time, me and Nobody and Raider would still be in the crib making records. We had another group called Black Eye that we put an independent record out on. Uh-huh. And then Dame lived across the street from Nobody.
Dame Dash.
He lives across the street from Nobody. Jay-Z is coming up. So we're like, yo, let's get him some beats. We gave him the beat to Can't Knock the Hustle, and it got on at the same time while I was an intern at Loud. Can't Knock the Hustle was out.
Wow.
So
that's crazy.
They found out, like, yo, did you just, like, Reef, Rob Tulo, we used to shop beats to him, and he wanted to sign Black Eye at the time, so I had a little relationship with him, and him and Maddie C, they went to school together real tight, and Maddie came to me, was like, yo, I just spoke to Reef, because I'll be in a mail room, straight up, in a mail room with Can't Knock the Hustle on the radio.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, yo, Reef just told me you did Can't Knock the Hustle and you're like started the X-Men. And I was like, yeah. He was like, listen, don't come to the mailroom anymore. When you come in, just come back here in the office. I'll always go back there or whatever, but you know, nobody really knew everything. He found out everything. He was like, yo, just
So then what do they start having you doing?
So that was during the Hell on Earth time.
That's A&R assistant.
So that's when I turned into A&R assistant, then I became VP of A&R, like, eventually after that. But so,
Can I just get a quick Dead Prez moment? Where does Dead Prez come from? Like, how do you find it?
Tallahassee, Florida.
Huge Dead Prez fan.
Yeah, Tallahassee, Florida is where Stick is from, and M is from... I think M's not from Florida, but they met in Florida. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying, did they have a demo?
Oh, Lord Jamal brought them up.
Oh, Lord Jamal.
Lord Jamal brought Dead Prez up to Loud.
That makes same time, so much sense.
Lord Jamal, Dead Prez, Big Pun, and Asim, who never came out, were all signed at the same time.
What was Asim again?
Asim the Explicit. He's from Queens. We ended up signing him to our company later on.
That goes. Yeah. That's how.
Yeah. Who did he come through?
He just came through. Scott Free found him in a large professor session. He was in there and he was just rapping. And Scott Free was like, yo, this kid is nice. And he signed him. So those three people got signed at the same time. I remember being in that Hell on Earth session and Maddie was like, yo, what do you think about Big Pun? And I was like, he's nice. I never heard him make a record because at the time, only thing you heard from him was Firewater. So it's like, I never heard a song from him, but he's nice. He's like, Steve wants to sign him. And Steve really just wanted to be in business with Fat Joe. So it was just like, yeah,
whatever he's got,
I'm down. Let's do it. And it ended up working out. Like, Steve's been great at figuring that kind of stuff out. And so that's what Dead Prez. I'm sorry, I went to the
point.
No, it's perfect. Dead Prez.
Tangentville.
Yeah, that's how Lord Jamal brought Dead Prez up. And then Prez, I kind of like really gravitated to between them and Pun. They were happening.
All right, I want to ask you about some more important signings. Were you responsible for Bass Blaster?
What?
No, Bass Blaster wasn't on
Loud. Yeah, Bass Blaster wasn't on Loud.
He wasn't on Loud. What was he on?
That was Steve Stout who signed Bass Blaster.
No.
Yes, Steve Stout
was on Bass Blaster.
Bass Blaster was on, label. But
it looked like, it was RCA. He was RCA, but not Loud.
Yeah, and I think Steve Stout was behind him. I just remember him from being on like that Nice and Smooth record or something.
He had a dope song. He had two dope songs. What about Dark Mind? What was that?
Dark Mind, now Scott.
And that they never came out, right?
I think we put out white labels on them.
Did you sign the Dwellers?
Scott.
Scott found the Cellar Dwellers.
Yes.
Were you involved on their album? No. Why are you being weird about it?
I'm not being weird about it.
Why is he laughing?
I don't know. I'm not being weird about it. I just Scott
LV, signed. LV, why are you laughing about the Cellar Dwellers album?
I'm not laughing about the Cellar Dwellers album.
You're at Scott
Free?
All that came from Scott. No. Like, the Cellar Dwellers was already signed when I was there.
Wait, the Cellar Dwellers. Yeah, whatever. You know, I'm sorry. No, not whatever. But what song did they have?
They had a bunch of songs.
They had two.
Land of the Lost.
Land of the Lost.
Yeah.
Was a big one. Perfect combination.
Perfect combination.
Yeah.
And then there was a dope record, though, when they changed their name to the Dwellers. That was Main. Main Aim. Though? That's on Soul in the Hole.
No.
Is it Soda? What's Soda?
It's called Main Aim.
Main Aim. That's on Soul in the Hole.
I'm going to play
That's like that last joint that was.
That was the real last ringer.
That was where it was like, okay, we're trying to make it happen.
What about the Licks? Did you have anything to do with the Licks?
They were already there, obviously.
Yeah, they were already there. I really like made albums. You know, I signed the Executioners, of course.
You did that album.
And made sure Remy got signed before it fell apart. And that was all because I ended up being the point person for Pun, even though I didn't sign him. But I ended up making the records with, you know what I mean, with them. And the same thing with Dead Prez. I didn't sign them, but creatively, I ended up being the guy that, you know, that they look to for certain things.
Real quick, it was a perfect match, not perfect combination, though they sing that.
Okay.
Nick Wiz Presents. That's on Spotify. I'm trying to find
Nick Wiz did Main Aim. Nick Wiz was dope.
Nick Wiz had some dope shit.
He was white, right?
I think so, yeah. I think he's like Armenian, I think. Or am I getting him mixed up with...
Kim Kardashian?
No.
Happens all the time.
So
what do you of all the
time, man?
How much involvement did you get to have in the Mobb Deep album?
With Hell on Earth, I would just be there and talk to Havoc all the time and like give input on beats and shit like that and you know that kind of stuff. Didn't like the way Lyle worked was the artist had mad control.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what's so ill? Like, that's that whole generation of people, like, in that same, while we're doing Hell on Earth, Just Blaze is the intern at the cutting room in the back making beats.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's an intern, like, getting people coffee and stuff like that or whatever.
That's how I met him.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like, that whole era is a ill time, man. It's a real ill time. But seeing Havoc with a stack of records with no sleeves, just mad scratches and shit all over. He's got a stack of records.
That's why they have that sound.
And he just puts a record on. They're mostly all classical records because that's why that's so dark because it's all like records with strings. And
so he's grabbing. Like no one even knows what those samples are, I'm guessing, right?
Exactly.
He's just grabbing random old classical records that are beat up.
He used the records more as instruments as opposed to like the full loops.
Right. He definitely chopped them.
Exactly. And then chop it up. He'll be playing. He'll do the drums and he'll be playing the drums and then he'll play the record.
Well, what about G.O.D. Part 3, though? Because G.O.D. Part 3 had a big thing from Scarface.
The Scarface and the drum loop.
So they must have given up a bunch of that record.
Yeah, right? I think they got all of the published. They got 100%. That was a hard record to clear.
That's like, we're just going to give this one up.
Yeah.
But most of the album has so little that's...
Yeah, that record I remember clearing. And there was, you know, and that album has a lot of outtakes. Like, there's the song with off the Prince shit. Off of My Girlfriend. We couldn't clear that.
That came out on white label, though.
Yeah, we couldn't clear that.
But sometimes that record gets cleared. Is it Prince just didn't like that
record? Maybe he didn't like. Maybe he just want to hear about deep. You know, little bitches getting fucked real hard.
But I think at that time, Prince wasn't clearing anything. Oh, really? I don't think at that time. I mean, it might have been when he was going through that whole.
What was the version of the mob song called again, though? That was on the bootleg.
Oh man, I'm trying to remember.
Young Love?
Young Love. That's the name of it.
Young Love?
That's the name of it, yeah. And it was like mad.
No, is that a different one that actually came out?
Young Love with the Montel Jordan beat?
That's the thing.
That was Hey Love.
That's Hey Love.
Hey Love, I think. I think the other one, Hey Love? I can't remember, yeah.
Something Love related. But it wasn't about love, I'll tell you that much right now.
No, and it's mad.
Although I will tell you this, Hell on Earth, Slept On album, in my opinion.
Yeah, a lot of Tupac diss records, too, that didn't make it.
Really?
Yeah.
Changed a lot.
Mad Tupac diss
record. It was a big change from the first album. So if you're one of those people that was stuck on the first album, the second album sounded
but
weird.
But the weird thing to me is,
if you went back now and listened, you would love it. But that people didn't like it. From that Q-tip, that Q-tip sound.
He's right.
To that then All Havoc sound.
But to me, it felt like a natural progression. I thought it felt like this is... Still, the drums felt similar. To me, it still felt similar. It just went darker.
You love the first Mob album?
The second Mob album.
Technically the second.
Yes. Love it. Love it. People didn't like it.
You loved it?
Loved it. And then loved Hell on Earth. I loved them both. I was
only
super...
Thing, the reason why I'm asking them this is because the 3-4 years difference in our age...
Can have random effect.
Makes big differences in music.
Mob was an album that you're was already DJing, bought the vinyl when it came out, played everything on it. Like, all of my mixtapes would have a different Mob Deep song
I didn't have to buy that. I just had to throw that out there. I didn't have to buy that album.
You were geeked. You were getting hooked up.
Yeah, I definitely was.
It's crazy what you say. Like, the older you are, the more critical you are of music. So that's why, you know.
Straight up, just like this. Yeah. Straight up. I'm Low End Theory. Mm-hmm. He's Midnight Marauders.
Right. Uh-huh.
And I love Midnight Marauders and he loves Low End Theory, but it's like
slightly different.
If I have to pick, it's that 3-year difference.
I'm in that way too.
I'm going with Midnight Marauders.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm going with Low End Theory too.
Well, we're both whiter than they are also. Because Midnight Marauders is the white favorite of all time. You know, it's funny. I'm doing this on Monday. There's an article about me in the New Yorker coming out, which I'm gassed about. But I did an NPR piece as a result of that piece, and they ended up talking to me about Tribe a lot in the thing. I guess because Ali Shaheed Muhammad works at NPR, so they talked to him and they talked to me. Yeah, he does a little rap show, like about hip hop stuff. But anyways, I talked a lot about the importance of Midnight Marauders to suburban kids in hip hop. Like that was a huge album. Kind of drove me crazy at the time because I wanted to be the only Tribe fan in the suburbs.
Uh-huh.
I was not able to keep them to myself. It didn't work out. So we gotta get before we let you guys dip, we gotta get to Jay-Z. We haven't talked about American Gangster at all.
And we haven't talked about Loud Dreams.
Yeah, we gotta talk about Loud Dreams too.
Yeah, we gotta talk about your album.
Yes,
exactly.
Although, let's be honest, all you need to know is the body of production that these guys have done to know that.
Nobody on 1UP ever really talks about the project that they come to talk about.
All they need to know is
still does well.
All you need to know is that it's... If you're listening to this podcast, the next thing you need to do is go on iTunes and search for Loud Dreams.
Or go to SeanCNLV.com.
Yeah.
You can buy it direct right there?
Yeah, so it's free.
Oh, it's free?
Free.
Free.
Is it free on iTunes? You have to pay on iTunes?
No, we're going to put it on iTunes later.
Now it's free?
Right now it's free.
Oh, well, then everyone listening just went and got that. SeanCNLV.com.
Yes. Do that.
Super easy. So tell us about American Gangster.
You can start that, Sean.
So American Gangster, because you know we started working with Puff after a while
because we got Asim
who was on Loud,
who was
signed to Puff,
signed to Puff,
signed to us, and then we signed them. Did Mayhem have anything
to do with this?
Yes, Mayhem.
What did Mayhem do? That's how I know it.
Yeah, Mayhem and Asim and Facade was the guy's name. I think Facade and Mayhem
Queens,
were partners.
Right?
Yeah. And Asim's from Queens, so he was signed to them originally. I think Mayhem. I don't know if he was signed to Mayhem, but Mayhem was involved.
Something to do with it.
Yeah. And
that's
then,
how I know it.
Yeah. And then when he got dropped from Loud, he got released. And actually, L was DJing for him when he was on Loud.
Yeah.
So that's how.
Just remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So and I would just leave them in my crib. And when I had to go to the office or do whatever, and they just
like
make
I gassed Sean up to buy a DigiO1 Pro Tools.
Mm-hmm.
And I gassed him up to buy a mic and all that. And then I was like,
gas me up.
Record here.
Nah, it was because we didn't have the money. Like, yeah. So, like, Sean was the only one with the money at that time. So we were like, Sean, yo, we need DJ one. Right. He was like, Sean, and at that time, Sean was like, all right, what you need? We go, we got it. So it was like,
and then I had an MP. I had the 2000, and the XL was coming out. So I used my expense account and bought an XL, and I gave him the 2000, the old 2000.
But then that was crazy because I didn't want to make beats at the time. I know we just went somewhere else, but we didn't.
All right.
I didn't want to make beats at the time, and it was just sitting there, the 2000. I was just like, yo, so let me just. He was like, yeah, I'm about to sell it to I think he wanted to sell it to Kai, and then, so he was like, to my man, come get it, then take it. And then, like, probably like 2-3 days later, I went to Sean's house and I played him. He was like, yo, you're making beats, and I was like,
oh, is that what this is?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. All right. Yeah. He was like, nah, go ahead, man. And then he was like, well, just go do some records, because Sean had mad records at the time. He was like, let's just go ahead. And I was just like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then I just never
stopped.
Yeah.
And then so that's how I see him after the loud days. He would just be in his house. He would call us up like, yo, I'm really still trying to, you know, do something. And so I left him in my crib, and they would make music. And Sav.
Yeah.
Actually, Sav, Sav was part of it. He was signed to Sav as a manager.
That's how it all started, because Sav was working at Hot 97. So Sav came up with the plan. He was like, yo, we need to make bed songs. Like, you know, the songs you guys play between going commercials and all that. Yeah. Right. So we started doing that for everybody. Mm-hmm. We was just like, yo, I don't care. You tell us what we got to do for it, and I will do it. We'll do original music. And then next thing you know, I think Sean got a call. It's like, yo, I think Puff heard one of the joints, and Puff wants to sign Asim. He was like, huh? Yeah,
that's how it happened.
How did he hear the song?
I guess.
He heard Asim rhyming on a promo at Hot.
Wow. Yeah.
And he called me and was like, yo, I heard this kid is signed to you. What's up? Wow. So then we signed him to Bad Boy.
All right.
And then that's how we kind of had that relationship.
And then what did
of
you,
being in the studio all the time.
So what did you work on for Puff? What songs did you guys do?
We did
Press Play.
We did worked on Press Play. Like, we kind of was there for
just
for
there
everything.
For the whole thing.
But we did the joint
Get Off, and we did
Get Off, the breakbeat joint with the smile. So he's like, get off, nigga.
And then we did. Well, what is it? What's the song we did?
And a joint that had the same sample that Khaled used for Grammy Family, but the song is called, I forget, man, but it's a song.
You did shit during the
Press Play era, because we would always be in Daddy's house working on our scene, just working on beats. So then that's how we built.
I hate that when people talk about being in Puff studio, they have to say Daddy's house, because it sounds mad sus.
That's what it was.
No, it just sounds sus.
Okay.
Like, I was up in Daddy's house, just sounds new.
I mean, yeah, it was good. So you're in the studio.
Exactly. No, so
that's how the relationship started.
Right.
Yeah, we knew each other, but that's how.
But why did Jay? Together. What was the Jay and Puff situation for the?
I'm getting to that.
I'm
getting to that. Just get you. You was rambling for a while. Let me get my rambling.
All right, go ahead.
I'm just. It all makes sense. So, then after this time, Puff was in San Tropez, and he called.
Obviously.
He texted us. He texted me and was like, "Yo, Jay is about to do another album, and I'm gonna executive produce the album. I want to do the album with y'all. He wants to do straight hip hop shit. Like, send me every beat.
Every beat.
That you got, that y'all have. Every beat."
What does send me mean?
Like send, like
email.
Email.
There was email?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was.
How far along do you think? 2000? It was like 2008.
Yeah, 2008.
Yeah. Yeah, so we sent them all of the joints. Then we're in then he comes back. We're in the studio. We're like, yo, so what's up? And I was like, yo, just call Jay now then. What's up with
Jay?
Because
he came in the studio. He was like, yo, you know Jay like that. I was like, why don't you just call him right now? Let's figure it out. He was like, what? All right. So he called them. And we just still talking. And we're like, he like, yeah, Jay said he'd been in 10 minutes. I was like, yeah, all right, nigga. Like, whatever. Like, Jay be in 10 minutes. Like, whatever.
So, the funny part about you guys not believing this is you are sitting with Puff.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that far-fetched at this point.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like your man. It's like you don't.
But y'all
don't,
knew him.
Yeah,
so,
we know him. It's like, you know what I'm saying? I don't look at him as, like, you know, I don't look at him as, like, you know, Puff. I was like, that's my nigga right there. Like, you know. So we're talking casually. Like, yeah, he's going to be here. Jay's going to be in 10 minutes, right? So we go actually in the A room, and we sitting there, and then Jay just walks in. So I'm like,
T-shirt,
no, like, I'm
like wrinkled T-shirt,
shit.
Like
regular,
super by
regular,
himself,
like
by
looked
himself.
Like by himself. He didn't have a security with him. Mm. He looked like he was like he said he was at home, just like, and he just got out and just came straight to the studio.
Came and then we started. He's like, all right, we'll play. I got 10 minutes. We'll start playing me beats. First beat we played was Sweet. And then it, he stayed. Actually, he was supposed to be there for 10 minutes. He stayed about 3 hours.
Yeah. Shit.
Then he did one right, song.
What'd he do?
Maybe. The song called Maybe that didn't make the album.
Oh, where's that?
I don't know. It's everywhere.
Yeah, it didn't make the album.
It came out, though?
Yeah, yeah. Not really, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it
ended up somewhere.
Yeah,
yeah, I could find it.
Somewhere stupid, yeah.
Okay, got it.
And then 3 days later, we're actually in the studio, and we're working on beats for the album now. And then Jay just walks in again, like, unexpected, just walks in and just start going like this. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, what are you doing? Like, so he's like, all right, come in the next room. And then we went in the next room, and then he played Sweet. And then I looked at Sean, and I was like, this shit is really happening.
Yeah, he played Sweet and No Hook. Out of the beats that he took 3 days ago, he had done Sweet and No Hooks.
He took the beats and recorded at his studio.
And came back. And then that's when it was just like an assembly line. So then he's like, all right, what else you got? So then we gave him something.
Mic?
He did his vocals.
Is this Rock the Mic era?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not the album.
I was there when Rock the Mic was built.
Are you think this is Reasonable Doubt? No, we're talking about American Gangster. Yeah.
What year is American Gangster?
2008.
Yes.
Yeah.
Album maybe's out in 2009.
So I left in like 2007, I think.
Yeah. So yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time adds up.
Fine.
Here's my bigger question though.
Okay.
Why did Jay and Puff, who have a, you know, kind of random relationship, get into this conversation about working on this together?
Why? Can I speculate?
Speculate.
Tell me if I'm right or wrong. The movie is about a hustler in Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. You're smart.
That's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is that it? He thought Puff would understand the sound that he wanted.
Yeah.
Well, I think he did. He chose right. Yeah.
He chose right. And it was, you know, as far as making concept albums and like you listen to Life After Death. You know, it's like that kind of
Puff's good at that
movie.
Oh, yeah, because
Puff's
the whole album
everything
was like
blends together,
all
and that's
about
what
the move. The what's the guy's name?
Frank White.
I mean Frank Lucas.
Frank Lucas.
Yeah. Yeah, and we didn't. And when we started, we didn't know that it was he never said anything about it being a soundtrack for a movie or being related to a movie or anything. He was like really, really short with information. He wasn't giving a lot of information. He just said what he wanted, like that's the sound. And then after Sweet and No Hook, we went to see the movie. He took us. We did like a private screening of the movie so we could kind of get the vibe. And then that's when Guru was like, "Yo, if you need anything from the movie, let me know because I got it."
And that's all right.
And then we start taking clips, and then we go back and forth.
And was Kanye just he happened to be around when y'all did Rock Boys or no?
Yeah, like fucking Kanye was around. Fucking Beyonce was around. It was weird.
LeBron James was around.
Like, yeah,
obviously. You need LeBron around. It's not really. You can't really get a rap song unless King James is in the building.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it was like that was like the most random shit that was happening. Like, you know, you walk in the studio, like 1 minute nobody's there, then you walk out and walk back in, and then you fucking got Jay-Z, Puff, Beyonce, and LeBron James, and I'm walking in like, oh shit.
Yeah, I'm just the nerdy guy making the music.
Yeah,
yeah. Trying to make this.
Yeah, tell the conversation that Beyonce just happened with him, and he didn't know how to answer the question. He was like still kind of
we're in a room, and you know Puff is playing. You know, Puff is playing Rock Boys and everybody's dancing. So I'm like, Beyonce is like, in like, you know, towards my back. So she taps me on my shoulder. I'm like, nah, fam. But she taps me again. So I turn around. I'm like, she's like, hey, is that Fela you sampled? I'm like, I just could not get it together. It just wasn't happening. I was just like, no, it isn't. She's like, oh, okay. And I'm just like, oh, shit.
And then when you find the answer, you have to sun her. You're like,
No, it's not. Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah,
you know what's crazy about that, too? Like, when we were, there was one day when we went to Rock the Mic early and Jay was in there by himself. We were like, towards the end of the album, we're doing American Dreaming was like one of the songs that almost
still
didn't
no
make
emails.
It.
So we have to, like, every time we do something, like, we add something, we have to take it over there. It was like no emailing.
They
anything.
Don't want it.
Like, they didn't want to leak it out.
So I'm over there, and it's just me and Jay in the room. And he was like, yo, man, she's such a good girl, man. Let me play you something. And he played me it was American Dreaming with Beyonce on the hook because we didn't have no hook. And he's like, she never knew. I never asked her to do this. She just knows because that's his wife. I guess she's around and knows what's missing, whatever. He was like, when I went to the gym, I came back. This was on my garage band. And it was American Dreaming with her singing the hook. But we didn't use it, but it was just ill that kind of shit. Like,
even Pray, like in the beginning.
I love Pray.
Yeah, in the beginning, Puff was saying a prayer. And then next thing, I come in to Rock the Mic, and he's like, yeah, Beyonce just just did the prayer. So we like, what? Yeah. And it just sounded so different. Like Puff, like, you know, that's what you want to hear because you heard him do the prayer on, like, you know, what is it?
Nobody Kills You.
Yeah. So then, so now I was like, oh, okay. But then when Beyonce, I was just like,
it just took it to
another level. But that was
how
great.
Was the checks from American Gangster? Good?
Very good.
Yeah, they were very good.
What
very
that
good,
album end up selling?
Oh, it was platinum. I don't know where it's at now. Yeah. I know it went a million. It didn't do like 3 million.
No,
like
it wasn't
that.
A crazy one.
It was like over a million, though. It was over a million.
It definitely that album changed my life for the best and the worst.
Why for the worst?
Because I got a little crazy.
Oh.
I thought I was unstoppable. I thought I was the best.
It happens to all of us.
I thought I was the best producer in the planet. Like I didn't care who you were.
Yeah, like I just did six Jay-Z. Six Jay-Z songs.
Yeah, I'll tell you how you fucked up. Yeah. You didn't get them tatted on your arm like Ye did when he first did. Yeah.
Right.
When
and that's where I messed up.
Wait, hold on. When Ye got the rock?
When Ye first did H to the Izzo, he tattooed the verses on his arm. That's one of his like main first tattoos, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, and he has a list of all the songs that he's done on his forearm.
Yeah.
Like for Jay-Z. That he did.
Well, I remember I saw him. He was like, "Yo, I just got this tat."
Yeah, I remember.
Still grease on. I was like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, when Jay-Z called me a couple weeks ago to explain why he could never copy Kanye, he didn't even throw in, "Oh, by the way, he has my songs tattooed on his arm."
For real.
That's nuts. Yeah. That's my son. Yeah. That's nuts.
It's crazy. But yeah, that was a great time, man.
Great time.
Man, this has been amazing. Tell him the album again.
Loud Dreams.
Loud Dreams. You could go to SeanCNLV.com, SeanAndLV.com, and PlayClothes.com.
And the best knows, and PlayClothes. Is there PlayClothes as well?
Yes, too. They're one of our sponsors, Red Bull, PlayClothes, and
Phony. That's fucking awesome. Yeah. And also, in case you're wondering, Sean C, this was very difficult for me the first 3 years I knew him, is not Bokeem Woodbine.
That was when I didn't have no facial hair.
Swear to God, he used to come up to you. Remember how many times I didn't remember you? He'd be like, "Yo, what up?" Yeah. And I'd be like, "Bokeem Woodbine?" I'm not kidding. Over and over.
I'm way
and
better
over.
Looking than that,
but
dude.
Wait, you have a story.
But I got an ill Bokeem Woodbine story,
yes,
though.
Oh, yes. Now you got to tell us.
I got two real quick. One was this similar thing, what you just said, was a girl at one of the release parties. This chick was like, "Hey, how you been?" She's talking to me. And I'm like, "I'm good." She's like, "So, how's everything?" And I'm like, "I don't think I'm who you think I am." I didn't know for sure, but then she was like, "I was just with you in L.A. Why are you going to act like..." She started, like, screaming on me. I was like, "She thinks I'm Bokeem Woodbine." Like, for real. Like, she really thinks I'm... Like, he's way taller than I am. I'm way better looking than he is. But another story, I met him before at a party, and we were drinking and shit, and then he was like... I was like, "Yo, it's cool meeting you." We kicking it. I was like, "Yo, it's cool meeting you, man." He was like, "Where you going?" I was like, "We about to... Me and my boy probably going to go to this other spot." He was like, "I'll roll." He got in my boy's car in the back seat, like had to pull the seat back, got in the car, rolled with us. I'm like, "This nigga doesn't know me from Adam." Like,
because you look like Tim.
No, I don't look like
him. I think he probably, maybe he felt the bond.
Yes, that's what I think.
Did you guys acknowledge that you look alike?
No, because I don't look like him. And
Sife, what do you think?
Of course he looks
like him. No, I don't look like him. Of course. Not now. At that time, I didn't have a full beard and all that. Nobody ever said it until I shaved my facial hair. Then people started saying it.
Yo,
I didn't get it before that.
It's SeanCNLV.com.
Loud Dreams.
Yes. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you guys for having us.
Thanks for having us, man.
Thank you.
Yo, watch the show. Monday night, 10:30 p.m. This is Hot 97, and tweet about it, motherfuckers.
Yeah.